There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We've got Sarah Henley-Hymer. She's joining us from Condé Nast Traveller Middle East, and we're talking luxury travel.
Daydream, why do you haunt me so?
The Luxury Lookout.
I look forward to this every 2 weeks because I feel like we can sit back and just daydream about having someone else's life. Don't you?
Yeah. Well, that's my daily life.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I have to say, I follow you on Instagram and I saw your birthday celebration posts.
Yes.
And my birthday celebration was nothing in comparison.
Yes, that was the holiday of a lifetime.
Where'd you go?
I went to Macau, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Osaka and Kyoto.
Of course you didn't just go to one place.
No.
Yeah, it was really good. It's all on my Instagram at Henley-Hymers. So check it out. Yeah, I stayed in some absolutely awesome places. It was very good. I'm going to tell you about one of them in particular a little bit later in the show.
And we are going to start with online, first of all.
Yes, we are looking at this week the results from Instagram. They have just come in. You were just talking about VidDXB and all things online. Obviously, Instagram is a bit of a absolute winner in the social media stakes at the moment, and they have revealed the most Instagrammed places in the world. Can either of you guess?
The hotel that is shaped like a ship, the pool in the hotel shaped like a ship in Singapore.
Marina Bay Sands. No.
Do you know when you... I always forget the name right of that hotel, but whenever anyone says it, I instantly think of apartment blocks in Deira. You know what I mean? It's not
it
a
has
great
that name.
Name.
Yeah. It isn't a great name. It's no. Yeah, it isn't a great name, but it is a great hotel. No, weirdly, that's not on there. It's not even in the... Let me just check. No, it's not even in the top 10.
Paris?
So this is cities. So yes, Paris made it into the top 10. They were in at number 5.
Yeah.
So it's still very popular. But no. Number 3?
Queens. Top and common.
No. Oh, you know what? You said that almost hopefully. like as if you've met Queens and you feel sorry for it and you really want it to be on the list.
I think it's next.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not in the top 10. It's not in the top 100. It's
Papua New Guinea?
It's not in the top 1,000.
I don't know any cities in Papua New Guinea, but...
No. Munich? Papua New Guinea's not on there. No, we've got...
No Munich?
Munich, no.
Oh.
Sadly.
Mm.
Any ideas about what might be number one?
Dubai?
Only in our eyes, darling. Oh. Only in our eyes.
Yeah, that got a little laugh there. Yeah.
No, number 3 is London.
Oh. Not sick of taking pictures of London yet?
Well, I don't think it photographs very well. I mean, I love it. It's my little homeland and that's where I'll go back eventually one day, I guess. But the river's very brown. Have you ever noticed how murky the River Thames is? So I don't think it takes a great photo. And whenever I'm doing stories on it, it's like, oh, London Eye again.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So not the most photogenic, but apparently top three, third. Number 2, Moscow.
Oh. Oh, I can see that.
No, but again, not the prettiest Russian city.
Onion domes. Multicoloured onion domes.
That's much smaller when you see it in real life, isn't it?
It is, yes. But it is a beautiful city. I do think it does have a lot going for it, but it's not a patch on St. Petersburg. If you're going to go to Moscow to take pictures, jump on the train and go to St. Petersburg while you're there.
That's what I did. The overnight train, it was cool.
Oh, one of my favourite bits going on the trains. In Japan, I did the bullet train.
Hmm.
Awesome.
Actually,
awesome.
Not the sleeper in Russia, because I think the guy driving it was a bit of a sadist. You'd literally fall asleep and the brakes would come on and rock you nearly to the edge of your bed.
Oh.
It's terrifying.
But that's the best bit of being on a train.
No. You're thinking, you're romantically conjuring up thoughts of being rocked gently asleep like turbulence.
Yeah.
It's not.
Oh.
It's chicka chicka chicka.
So Moscow. Well, you can, it's only about an hour, isn't it? You can do it during the day as well.
Yeah.
Awake. Nice and easy one. So yes, St. Petersburg is on the list actually, it's number 7. And the winner Close to your heart. New York.
New York City.
New York City.
Are you sure it's not Queens?
Sure it's not Queens, ma'am. I'm sure it's not Queens.
Ah, I do like New York, but I prefer Brooklyn now when I go.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's hipster.
No, it's not. I feel like it's what New York used to be before all of the tourists arrived.
Yeah. And the
real
clean,
people.
And they cleaned up the crime.
Yeah, I love the crime.
I love it.
Plenty of crime in Brooklyn.
That Times Square was colourful, wasn't it? Back in the day.
I missed the crime.
Yeah. So they are the top three. So if you're planning your 2018 holidays, that is where everybody else went in 2017 and loved it enough to post about it. We also have Dubai's top 10 most geotagged spots. Mm. This is so obvious,
Burj
it's painful.
Khalifa.
Is yes. it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Burj Khalifa at number one.
Yeah. Bum, bum, bum.
That's going to be, isn't it?
Always. Yeah. Always. I was at the Bulgari Hotel launch this morning and they were saying they're hoping to be a landmark alongside Burj Khalifa and Burj Al Arab. So maybe next year, good luck to them.
What can you tell us about that? Insights from the press announcement.
It's incredibly Italian, but it's at the complete polar opposite end of the scale to Palazzo Versace. So if you have been to Palazzo No, Palazzo Versace is very chintzy and marbly and glamorous. And
I was surprised by how unchintzy it was when I went.
Really?
It was quite classy.
Yeah, but chintzy can be classy. It's that whole, it's that ornate marble, you know, clawfoot. It's a very...
I know where you're going with this.
Palatial Italian grandeur.
Looks like you could have bought it from IKEA, but it's much more expensive.
the
Don't get marble
Bulgari. Yes, it's like, you know, brown woolen blankets over the end of
minimalist
plain white bedding. There's
yes.
no silk or satin. It's luxury. It's you know, it's extreme five-star luxury, but it is the opposite end of the Italian spectrum. So it's very well designed, but it's made to look like, you know, like the lobby looks like a rich friend's lounge.
Oh, amazing.
It's that kind of, you know, books scattered around and comfy plump leather sofas, as opposed to high, you know, Regency period chairs, and it's the different ends of that Italian spectrum.
Is there a fire running there, like a fireplace? No, not.
Are you worried because it's so cold here at the moment? Is that what's worrying you?
Yeah,
get the fire on, Bulgari. I'm coming around.
Exactly, with the leather chairs and everything. Why not? And read your book next to the fire.
I didn't see a fire. There is a chocolate shop.
Oh,
there is a There's a chocolate boutique. There's Il Ristorante, Il Cafe, and Il Cioccolata, and that is just full of. I only had one, but it was very good. It was the matcha covered chocolate. Very nice, very nice. And it's just very like laid back, pared back kind of luxury. And so it's going to be one of those places that's very quiet. You're going to wander around going, where is everybody? But there's only 100 keys. So it's a massive space. And it looks a lot bigger because there's residents as well. So the images that you will, I'm going to load all this up on my Instagram in a minute when I get off air.
Where's it going to be?
The hotel.
Yeah.
It's next door to the Four Seasons. So it's on a patch of island just past Four Seasons Dubai. It has its own reclaimed little island.
And when's it opening?
Tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
how exciting.
Yeah. And it's got a really lovely, interesting coral effect cladding all around the building.
Oh.
And that's the sort of, it's very subtle. You don't see it until you're up close. But that's the whole point of this place. Everything is very subtle. Until you look a little bit closely and then you realise, God, that must have been expensive. Like the minibar is clad in, you know, leather with a Bulgari leather badge on it and things like that.
You should just check that out. She's from Newcastle.
Daydream, why do you haunt me so?
The Luxury Lookout.
If you just tuned into The Ticket, we've got Sarah Hedley-Heimers from Condé Nast Traveller Middle East. She's here this afternoon. We're talking luxury travel. We can't afford to do it. I'm guessing if you didn't do it for work, would you be able to afford to do it, Sarah?
I'm married to a hotelier, so I get to go, anyway.
Amazing. You hit all the lucky branches on the way down that tree, didn't you? Well, we've got our cups of tea, because it makes us feel a little bit better, look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, lovely. Because we can all daydream about luxury travel, whether we can afford to do it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly daydreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start today?
Well, I was mentioning earlier that I just went on a birthday voyage. And one of the stops was in Hong Kong to the landmark Mandarin Oriental Hong Kong. Because they have just unveiled their new suite. It took 18 months to create this suite, and it's really very wow. It's 60,000 dirhams a night, but no, it's really... I think the clientele has actually been more bachelor parties and events and groups who have been hiring this place out, but it's just got some really good wowzer features that you won't forget in a hurry, like a specially designed 4 meter long cabinet of delights. So this this sort of very beautiful ornate cabinet has been created with all these bits and pieces in, like there's a popcorn making machine in there. There's a special...
See, I'm not that wealthy, right?
Yeah.
At all.
But you've got a popcorn making machine.
No, but I think I'm too good for popcorn.
What? Oh, do you now?
I do. And I have no money. So if I was in a suite and I walked in and there was popcorn, I'd be like, huh?
Okay, so
no, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, well, you don't have to have the popcorn. Next to that is a vitrine, one of those posh cake cabinets, and the hotel's Michelin star chef Richard Ekebus creates little treats and fancies that you can get from there. So you can have Michelin starred nibbles.
I'm sorry, fresh... it was a very bad decision to put the popcorn in then. Trying to take the shine of Michelin-starred treats with
popcorn.
You've
got 4 metres of cabinet to fill with fun here.
Yeah.
And what else would we have in this
and
cabinet
And people
of
who
fun?
Love popcorn, I'm sorry, but yeah. It's one of the greatest snacks yeah. ever.
And there's a cigar humidor fridge in this 4 metre long cabinet as well. So there's more than just the popcorn. And there's... And, addition to the 4 meter cabinet, there is in the middle of the room a coffee table that opens up, and inside of it is a PlayStation games library with virtual headsets and the PlayStation controls and all that jazz.
Joystick. People still doing that?
Yeah. DVD library. Oh, and this one, yeah, because behind, I mean, there's a massive TV, but in front of the TV, you press a button and the whole end of the suite then turns into a cinema.
So, you're joking.
Yeah, so the whole length of the...
Hence the popcorn.
Hence the popcorn.
They've got it in the wrong place.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I get it now.
So this whole thing comes down so you can either watch movies or you can do the whole virtual reality headset gaming with this. And then there's this like huge bathtub that's completely carved out of just one piece of marble, and a butler will come
up. Oh, I do hate it when they put two pieces together. Hate it.
No, it is so thoughtless. And a butler will come up and then they will fill it. All the toiletries are Jo Malone, which is just Jo Malone. It's just a lovely brand. Mm-hmm. So obviously when you've got all of that going on with the bath bombs and the bubbles, yeah, it's just, I mean, things like the bed, right? So on the bed, by magnet, there's a little handheld device. You can pull it off and decide what heat you want your side of the bed, and your husband can pick his own heat. So each side of the bed is temperature controlled to your specific likings. It's just beautiful. You walk in the walk-in wardrobe, it's got those drawers that pull out, and there's like little like sponge bits that you can put your rings on and your ties on, and everything's got this little perfect space. It is absolutely spectacular.
And I hope they change the sponge regularly, though, because it's a breeding ground of sponge.
It's leather covered. It doesn't. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Those little pockets, you know, like you going back to IKEA. You know how in IKEA you get those drawer dividers?
Yeah.
Imagine like that, but done for millionaires with leather instead of
you wouldn't
plastic
want to go
dividers.
Home, though, would you? Yeah. I mean,
it was hard
tough?
To get the husband out. It really was. Like the husband was just absolutely mesmerised by the place, and just he was watching football on the cinema screen, and it was just, you know, I can't remember ever seeing him happier in a hotel room than that.
That's a shame.
I know, because he's never going to stay there again. So that's the end of that.
So 60,000 dirhams.
60,160, yeah. Yeah, I know it's more than, you know, a few months' salary for most people. And it is. It's a pop star place. You know, you can just see that, you know, it's a real entourage, you know, movie set. Mm. That's the sort of, it is just uber cool. And it's beautiful. It's a landmark. And, you know, the the restaurant in the Landmark is Amber. It's on. It's got two Michelin stars, and it's on the world's 50 best list. And the food is phenomenal. So the whole hotel is just like wow. But this suite is, yeah, it's kind of special. Very
okay,
special.
Let's go grab another cup of tea, guys.
Daydream, why do you haunt me so?
The Luxury Lookout.
Dream, 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 dream.
You know what? I'm going to buy special tea bags next week.
Luxury tea bags?
Week after. Luxury. No, I'm not. Because I don't think I'll be here.
No.
I'm going to buy them for when I'm back from my holiday.
Okay. Why don't I steal some from one of the hotels?
Yes, that's a good idea.
They're complimentary. It's not technically stealing, is it?
No, and even if it is, they're only tea bags. So our next luxury experience, we are en route to La Dolce Vita.
Yes, en route to La Dolce Vita is a travel experience that Four Seasons has conjured up. If you love vintage cars, this is the trip for you. So it's across the French Riviera and Italy, and it's been put on by Four Seasons Milano, Four Seasons Firenze in Florence, and Cap Ferrat in France. So... you basically, I don't know anything about cars, so I'm going to tell you what these cars are. It's the 1960 Alfa Romeo, if you're a car
very
person.
Very nice. That's I love those, Alfa Romeos.
That's a car that you'd go, ooh.
Yeah.
I've seen the pictures. They just look like they're from, you know, those really iconic movies. You've got a 1958 Mercedes-Benz and a Porsche 356.
Ooh.
Is that how you say it, or would you say 356?
911.
Ah, no, it's a 356 Speedster.
Oh, another 911.
Yeah.
So vintage car lovers will know that these are very important cars. Very important.
Yeah.
And you get to take one, and the hotel comes up with a road trip for you, and you go on this amazing road trip in one of these three cars from hotel to hotel, and at each of the stop-offs along the way, they give you an itinerary, and the whole time, you've got another car behind you, following you, which will have your, you know, your luggage in it. If you break down, they'll be there. If it starts to rain, because they're all open top, they'll give you their car so you don't get wet.
Oh.
So it's like the, you know, the putting on the luxury vintage road trip, but with all things covered. So
it could go wrong. You're right.
Yeah.
You often see vintage cars broken down by the side
yes,
of the road. Don't
exactly.
You?
So you don't, you know, it is a risk with these old dears. So you've got to have that. So you've got to have all of that luxury. And then when you get to a place, you don't want to go, oh, where can I park my Alfa Romeo? So the people behind you and the invisible people following you in the other car, give them the keys. Boomf.
That's
so
amazing.
So they'll valet park everywhere you go and just deal. So it's like the dream with none of the hassle. They'll put the petrol in the tank. They will do everything.
Wow.
Yeah. And the Four Seasons will pack and create picnics for you to take along your way. So it's just basically like walking into the set of a movie about a vintage car holiday romance. I think it's super sweet. And it's 11,000 a day.
I thought we could afford that one. 11,000 what?
For the car hire.
Dirhams.
Yes. And
are you
then
breaking this down? It's not just 11,000
break it down.
A day,
I'm breaking it down.
All of it.
Yes. And then you've got to pay for the hotels on top of that.
Of course.
Yeah.
And that's another...
Yeah, but that's another... You know, if there's any very wealthy ladies out there who are thinking, what to get for my husband, this is it. For the car-obsessed husband out there, yes. I mean, obviously, you know, if likewise, that sounds very sexist, isn't it? I'm sure there's women who like Alfa Romeos. I just don't like cars.
I love Alfa Romeos. I once did not dump a guy because I really liked his Alfa Romeo. I stayed 3 weeks longer than I would have, probably.
See, I wouldn't go with somebody because they have a Porsche. I have, like, that aversion to it. Like, what are you trying to say with the Porsche?
No, the old Porsche is fine. A new
Porsche.
Yeah,
these are all old vintage cars. So it's, they do. They do look beautiful in the pictures.
What's
they
wrong with luxury cars? I'm sorry. I drive one.
Do
it's
you?
Absolutely fine.
Do you? What luxury
yes.
car do you drive?
I drive a BMW.
Do you? I like a BMW.
Okay. I think a car says a bit about a person.
It and does.
Yeah,
it
I think
does.
You're young. Shruti, like I used to drive a nice car when I was younger.
Yeah.
I had the very first off the production line Peugeot 206 Coupe Cabriolet. And it had red leather seats inside and it had a convertible
red
roof.
Red leather interior.
I know.
Yes.
Disgusting or what? But I loved it. But now I drive the Kia Picanto that is nearly a vintage car.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing. 10,000 dirhams 3 years ago. It's paying me to drive it. Like, that's what you want when you grow up.
Yeah.
I mean, we were driving down from Fujairah yesterday and Steph was following me because we didn't know how to get out. Uh-huh. And I had to constantly slow down because she was so far behind.
Oh.
And I kept saying, come on, speed up. Come on, speed up.
It doesn't
safety
matter.
First,
I'll
Shruti,
take him
safety
time
first.
I'll take him in my debt-free car. It was amazing. I love it.
But with this you get to give the car back at the end of the day. You don't have to deal with it, maintain it. Yeah, it's a lovely trip. I would happily go on it if I didn't have to drive anywhere.
So Four Seasons, en route to La Dolce Vita, if you're
interested
in buying
that. En route to La Dolce Vita, yes. That is a good one.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.